Welcome back to another episode of Nerd Tween in a Movie Podcast. I am your host, Nerdpool Prime. Thank you so much for joining me. As always, if you like the content, please do me a favor, like, share, subscribe. It always helps with the algorithms as well as trying to get bigger and better guests. So definitely shoot me a like, subscribe, and all that good algorithm jazz, whether you're listening to this on YouTube, iHeartRadio, Spotify, pretty much anywhere but Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, because they still have not got back to me. Looks like I'll have to submit another request. But I digress. I didn't get an episode in last week, guys. I do apologize for that. I had a lot going on. I'll admit that I've had some big losses in certain areas financially when I was trying to, you know, sell comics and stuff like that. But then I, a couple days later, had some really huge come-ups. Like I said, I didn't feel up to doing an episode last week. I felt that if I did, it would just be me complaining, and I'd rather not do that, especially on my podcast. But all that being said, I will do a shameless plug. I do have a Whatnot comic auction that will be going on when this drops, actually. I record these the night before, so my show is at 10:30. I'll be going for a while because I've got a ton of great books. So if you are interested, do yourself a favor. Use the link in the description to find my page, for one. And two, if you have not bought anything on Whatnot yet, you get $10 off your first purchase. And my giveaway requires a $10 purchase. So if you've never bought me before, you can literally get a purchase for $10. You'll end up paying the shipping. That's it. You could potentially win a book and then a CGC 9.8 Berserker number 3, 1 in 25. So, just saying. Shameless plugs aside, what a week for nerds. Holy crap. So, we got the first two episodes of Hawkeye. Fantastic. We'll get into that a little bit later. They also dropped part 2 of Masters of the Universe Revelations, which amazing. If you're not watching that on Netflix, I do not know what you are doing with your life. Simple as that. Because Masters of the Universe was absolutely amazing. And then also we got the No Way Home trailer. Maybe was it 2 weeks ago now? Because like I said, I didn't do a video or an episode last week. But wow. What a time to be a nerd, ladies and gentlemen. This is, you know, we talked about many of the years past were like the year of nerds, you know, when Captain America Civil War, Batman vs. Superman, and all that stuff was out. We were like, yeah, this is the year. And then, you know, obviously COVID changed everything in 2020, so everything was pushed back and moved. And then now, when you think about it, we have coming up soon. I mean, right now we've got, like I said, we got Hawkeye, which is absolutely amazing. And then a whole bunch of other stuff that's been dropping, like Masters of the Universe. But if you want to talk about strictly Marvel content, so we've got Spider-Man No Way Home, which I have to say this on record. I don't care how many times Andrew Garfield says he's not in No Way Home. I can only think of the Professor Snape scene. Don't lie to me. Come on, dude. Come on. Photoshop videos. Nice try. But I definitely think that we're going to get the first introduction into the live action Spider-Verse. I've been hearing a lot of rumors recently that they are going full bore with the Sinister Six movie, which will spin off to the Kraven movie, which will spin off to the Morbius movie, which will spin off to. Because there's also rumors that there's going to be a Rhino solo series, which I don't understand why. As well as a Sandman series, which I do get. That he's, even in the comics, he was a very interesting character, but what they did with him in the Raimi Spider-Man movie was absolutely amazing. It gave you a very compelling character that I would love to see more of. So I definitely have a good idea that a good feeling about that show, at least. Now, all that being said, I do have some little bit of theories I'm going to drop about No Way Home first before I get into my reviews of Masters of the Universe and Hawkeye. So, I guess obviously, we all pretty much agree at this point that there is going to be the live-action Spider-Verse. Now, I think that part of all of this is also coinciding with the events of WandaVision and Loki. Even though Loki, it's on its own little island because it is, you know, it's the first true multiverse that we saw in the live action. I mean, we've seen different timelines, you've seen stuff like that, but that, like, Loki's on its own. But I feel like when Loki, while it is on its own, it does have a succinct timeline with certain events, like that event at the end where Jonathan Majors says we've passed the threshold. It lines up 100% with WandaVision and the moment she becomes the Scarlet Witch. That being said, I believe that the events of No Way Home also happened at the same time. I could be wrong, and, you know, who knows at this point? But for me, I feel like that is what will lead Doctor Strange to seek out someone like Wanda. Because who alive really would have the juice on par with Doctor Strange? I mean, yes, there's tons of sorcerers all over the place. You know, you got Wong and even Mordo out there somewhere. But I do think that it's kind of understood that Wanda is just ridiculously powerful. I mean, we can go all the way back to even Captain America: Civil War when she went toe-to-toe with Vision. She went, and then later on in Infinity War, she was literally destroying an Infinity Stone while holding Thanos back, while he has all the other stones, while she's literally having a mental breakdown because she's about to kill the person she loves. And she was able to hold back Thanos while doing all of that. And then you look at Endgame, when she went toe-to-toe with Thanos, who whooped the crap out of the Hulk. And then you can even look at that at What If. If you look at What If, and when she became zombie, she literally was immune to the Mind Stone's effects. And I mean, not for nothing, it probably would have taken only someone like Ultron or Doctor Strange to really take her out. So I feel like all of these, everything's connected, obviously, in the MCU, but these couple of movies and TV shows even more so. So I look at it like there's like two kind of, and then I've spoke about this before, that the Marvel Universe is going to go into two separate kind of realms. There's going to be space and Earth based. Now it looks like it might even be more magical, multiversal versus just outer space. Because if you look at it, you got WandaVision messing with reality. You got Loki, time, reality, all that. Then you got Multiverse of Madness and Spider-Man No Way Home. Those four kind of just link together. And then you have something like Falcon and the Winter Soldier and Hawkeye. What's next? Moon Knight, She-Hulk, Miss Marvel. Those are all the next ones on deck. So you can, again, start to see the pattern here. And I definitely, I've said this before, I see Civil War II already brewing. You've obviously got two Marvels, Captain Marvel and Monica Rambeau, who will butt heads. And then you'll have the young people that will be caught in the middle, like Kate Bishop and Kamala Khan, and Spider-Man, of course. So I definitely feel like we're going to get that, as well as, you know, obviously we're gonna, looking like we're going to get a Kang War leading into Secret Wars. And they have announced that filming for Ant-Man, the Wasp, Quantumanium has wrapped filming. So that's great news, because that movie's coming out next year. And I'm actually really excited about that. The first Ant-Man movie was amazing. The second was a hit or miss. But this one, I've got a lot of hope for that. And I really think that will be a slept on movie. And if you haven't got your Kang the Conqueror books, or your other versions of Kang, like Nathaniel Richards and Rama Tutt, you might want to get on that now before it is too late. All right, so that's it for my little intro. We're going to take a little quick break here, and then I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about Masters of the Universe. And then at the end, we will talk about Hawkeye. Stay tuned. Welcome back. So, Masters of the Universe, Revelations, Netflix original, created by the unbelievable Kevin Smith. If you don't know who that is, then I really suggest you look into his body of work. It's absolutely outstanding. I mean, the man has done classic after classic after classic. Dogma, Jane's Bob Strikes Back, Clerks, you go on and on and on. Chasing Amy, I mean, you name it, this man has just came out and just done it amazingly. This show was, lack of a better word, a revelation. It was so good. The first part, there were scenes where I was up screaming, like cheering. There was times where I was crying, and it was just a tremendous accomplishment for what I remember. Like in He-Man, you know, Skeletor never wins, and at the end of part one, he did, and it really changed the entire, you know, makeup of the entire show. And you got to look at it, when you have someone as talented as Mark Hamill doing a voice like Skeletor, it kind of, you know, makes it really easy to have such a strong character, because he just commands that, like, when you hear that voice, while you know it's Mark Hamill, you don't hear Mark Hamill, you hear Skeletor, or you hear the Joker. It's not like you're like, oh, there's Mark Hamill. It's like, no, there's the Joker. And you just know, you know. And then you look at the rest of the cast. I mean, Sarah Michelle Gellar as Tila. I mean, come on. I mean, Sarah Michelle Gellar is the most, she's known for being one of the most badass women in the nerd realm. I mean, she's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And now here she is, Tila. I mean, who has one of the, you know, when you first hear that it's a Master of the Universe, you think it's going to be a He-Man-centered story, and it's not. This story is really Tila's story. And I loved the journey that Kevin Smith took her on. There was a couple characters who were so and like, I spoke about this before in my shows, what the difference between a static and a dynamic character is. Every single character in this show was dynamic. And by that, again, I mean that they changed, they grew, they weren't just a one-note character. You look at Evil-Lyn, who was voiced by Lena Headey. I'm sure I said that wrong. Queen Cersei from Game of Thrones. And then you got, like I said, Mark Hamill as Skeletor. Then you have, like, Liam Cunningham. He was obviously also in Game of Thrones, but he's a tremendous actor. He does Man-at-Arms. I mean, you have, like, Henry Rollins, Kevin Michael Richardson, Justin Long. Dennis Haysbert. You look, Alan Oppenheimer, who was actually from the original series as well, who voiced, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Skeletor. He did Mossman in this show. And then you got Kevin Conroy even coming in, Jason Mewes. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. It's just, it's really impressive, the cast that was on this show. And then you go into the storytelling. And it sucks you in from the very beginning. It's, like I said, you think it's going to be a He-Man show, and it's not. It's Teela kicking ass nonstop and showing, you know, this great, super strong character like He-Man has a lot of issues. He hides things from his family, from the people he loves, and he, you know, while he is the righteous hand of good and will in the universe, he's also this very flawed character. And that's one thing that this show didn't shy away from. I mean, it allowed the characters to have moments of weakness and not be, like, even Skeletor. I mean, Skeletor had the power, and he gave it up because he wanted to get some booty. I mean, like, that's not something you see from the majority of characters in stories like this. Most of the time, I mean, maybe Skeletor more so, because he's, you know, the bad guy. The bad guy always loses, but the bad guy won here. And then Evil-Lyn took the power. Oh my god. Evil-Lyn was so badass when she got all the power of Castle Grayskull. I mean, it just expanded on characters that you didn't think you wanted to know about. And just the fight scenes were obviously awesome. There was a great, I call him He-Hulk. I know, due to copyright law, they can't call him He-Hulk, but it was basically a roided out, Broly-esque, version of He-Man. But just literally from start to finish, the show was just unbelievable. I watched the first part probably 4 or 5 times before the second one came out. I just watched the second one in one day. Like, I completely ruined the I don't want to say the beauty of it, but I couldn't stop. I couldn't prolong it. I had to see how the story played out, and twist ending at the end. I'm not going to spoil it, just in case you haven't seen it. Because I've only watched the second part once, and I haven't had enough time to really digest everything I saw. Like, that ending really threw me for a loop. I thought the ending of part one had me, like, freaking out. This one, it just came out of left field. I didn't know what to expect, and I was blown away. Every single time I thought I figured out, like, the next big thing, like, something else came up. And it was just, like I said, Kevin Smith is just one of the greatest minds in entertainment. And I really wish that we could get him in more things. I mean, he did great, you know, with all when he did the stuff for the DC television series. But I want him to get, like, give him a Daredevil movie. He wrote for Daredevil, you know, at one point. So, man, can you imagine a Kevin Smith written and directed Daredevil? I would only have one request, you know, that Ben Affleck cannot be Daredevil. He can appear in it. but he can't be Daredevil. But yeah, for me, it's one of the best shows we got in the last few years. Masters of the Universe, Netflix original, talented cast, talented writers, producers, everything. You will not be disappointed. It's a Nerdtween favorite. Definitely recommend it. Very much so. If you have not already watched it, go watch it. So we're going to take another quick break right here, and then we're going to come back. We're talking about Hawkeye, episodes 1 and 2. Stay tuned. Welcome back. So, Hawkeye, Disney Plus original series, dropped this week, the first two episodes, and I must say, I think they did such a great job introducing Kate Bishop. I was a little worried about how they were going to portray her, and I'm so glad that I was wrong. For me, these first two episodes rank the best out of all of the Disney Plus original shows after the first two episodes. Because, like, Loki was really good for the first episode, the second one was kind of okay, and the third one's where it picked up again. And then you look at WandaVision, the first two were the sitcom ones that were kind of crazy. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, it was a lot of just, you know, introducing the players, you know. And I feel like this is going to be such a great show. Now, mind you, it also happens to have one of the biggest actors in any of the Disney Plus shows to date. I mean, this is Jeremy Renner, who has been playing Hawkeye since Thor. Was it Thor? Yeah, since Thor, which took place, I don't even know how many years ago at this point. And, you know, he's got a very successful career as an actor. Not saying that Tom Hiddleston anybody else, Sebastian Stan, they're all great actors. But I feel like Renner is different in the aspect of the shows because he was in the movies way before his show came out. Same thing with these other characters, but not like to the extent, like, yes, he didn't have his own movie, but he was a part of the Avengers before the Avengers even existed. So his role as one of the focal characters in this show, I think, automatically takes it to a next level when it comes to content. And then when you have a character as unbelievably, let's just say, enthralling, or just you just get so hooked and in love with this character. Hailee Steinfeld just did an amazing job because she kind of gives off this almost like she's super confident but also self-conscious, and that's what someone. Because she's obviously not a teenager anymore, but she's playing this role very well to where it's like, you know how teenagers are, they're super confident, but they don't know shit. Like, that's kind of what she's portraying in every single scene, and it's fantastic. I absolutely loved, like, when she, you know, went to the dinner with her mom. She wore a black suit. Like, nah, I'm not wearing a freaking I'm not wearing a red dress. You can kiss my ass. I'm wearing a black suit. And it's just, you don't ever wonder or question whether or not Kate Bishop can do what she's doing. Like, because when in the fight scene, she's not overpowering these guys. She's using, like, real, like, takedowns and what someone of her stature compared to these bigger people would have to do. Like, she's not, like, punching him in the face and they're getting knocked out. Like, they didn't give her any, like, weird, like, abilities where, like, she has, like, the best kick in the world. You know what I mean? Like, she's a great best archer. I mean, she's practiced her whole life to be this person. Because all the, you know, she fences, she's gymnastics, taekwondo, all this other stuff. And then I did like how they went back to Avengers. And she just, you know, sees Hawkeye just kicking ass. And she's like, "Mom, after dad dies, mom says, I'll give you anything you need. What do you need? I need a bow and arrow." Like, you knew that was coming. Like, that was beautifully done. Like, even though it, like, you could see the breadcrumbs, it still felt great getting it at that point. I need a bow and arrow. And can we all agree? I don't know if anyone else caught this right away, but, you know, Tony Dalton's character, Jake Duquesne, I think that's how you say his last name, was, for me, the second I saw him, I was like, that's the bad guy. That's a bad guy right there. That's a bad guy. And obviously, if you don't know, that his character is the swordsman. Swordsman? Is that what it is? Hold on. The swordsman. I think so. Swordsman. Yeah, swordsman. In the comics, he is attributed to be one of the people who trained Hawkeye. So I definitely see a flashback scene. I would really hope that they do that. That'd be amazing. Like, when, because Jeremy Renner has not seen, like, sorry, Hawkeye, Clint, has not seen that character yet. And I really think that it would be interesting if he went to him to learn how to be a swordsman. And that's a connecting thing that we'll see later. Obviously, it was also great to see the introduction of his hearing aid, because in the comics he's deaf. Because, I mean, I like how they was like, who knows at this point what it was? It could have been the I think it was the explosion in Endgame that really did it. Like, his hearing may have been an issue prior, but it really, really had a bad day when Thanos blew up the entire Avengers mansion with him inside it. And all the other Avengers, but him too. And, you know, there's something so lovable about his character, because he is human. He's just an exceptional human. And, you know, in Age of Ultron, when he's talking to his wife, he said, "Do you think they don't need me?" And she goes, "No, this team of gods does need you, and that's scary." And it's true, and I really think that Hawkeye's run as an Avenger is over. I wouldn't doubt he would show up here and there, but I think this is his last hurrah. I think by the end of the series, he's going to hand off the mantle of Hawkeye, and gonna bring her to, I don't know, maybe Bruce or whoever is, you know, running the Avengers or whatever they are at this point, because she's definitely gonna be a focal point in the MCU for a long time. And yeah, here's another character from the Young Avengers that is being put to the forefront. This is funny. There's an interview. They asked her if there was a Young Avengers series in the works, and she turns and looks at Kevin Feige, and he gives her this look like, "If you don't turn around, I will kill you." And like, it's very telling. We've been postulating on a Young Avengers for a while now. I definitely think it's the smart way to go. Instead of having a full-on Avengers with the old crew or the old guard, let the young kids get their shot. Now, there wasn't really much, I would say, that was, you know, too vital to the story. The one thing that kind of got me a little bit, though, is I didn't know Hawkeye's sword was retractable. I watched Infinity War, or no, Endgame the other day, and he had it in a sheath. If it's, you know, retractable, why did he have a sheath? Just saying. Because I don't remember it being folded up in the in the other movies, but I digress. It's not, that's not that big of a deal, really. But yeah, the, you know, the introduction of the Tracksuit Mafia, and of course, we finally got to see Echo. Besides that one little clip that we saw, I do think that they're making a point to have her debut in red, like with red light, to signify the connection to Daredevil. I've also seen a lot of rumors recently about Kingpin, Vincent D'Onofrio from the Daredevil show, showing up in Hawkeye, and apparently the quote I read is that it's going to make a lot of nerds weep with joy, because apparently he's like full blown, like fat suit, like white suited, like straight out the comics. Like, I loved Vincent D'Onofrio's take on Kingpin in Daredevil. He was absolutely amazing. He was a little excuse me, thin for Kingpin. Kingpin was a monstrosity of a human being, and I would really hope that they do that. I mean, if he comes in a fat suit and is in this like all white suit, I'm gonna lose it. You want to talk about a grown man cry? Yeah, I would be crying like a little girl who just got her first dog. Like, I will be just absolutely floored if he shows up like the comic book Kingpin. Because his acting is just absolutely phenomenal. So add that, like, super authentic, comic book accurate suit on top of it. Hawkeye will be the best series that they've put out so far. That's the case. If that's the case. So we got the first two episodes already. So next episode obviously debuts on Wednesday. And I have a 48-hour spoiler ban. I do not post anything regarding the episode for at least 48 hours after release. I would hope and I would plead that everyone else would do so as well. There are some people who just can't watch it when it drops. I don't have the ability to watch it at 3 a.m. when it comes out my time, because I have work the next morning at 8 a.m. So I can't really, you know, wait up till 3 a.m., watch an hour-long show, go to bed, and get up in time for work. I just can't. So what I do, I wake up early and watch it. Not everyone can do that. Like, I'll go to bed early on Wednesday night, so Thursday morning I can wake up at 2-3 hours early and make sure I can watch the episode. Because I obviously have a podcast. I have, you know, multiple Instagram accounts, Marvel account, everything, Marvel 2K21, NerdTween, my Furry Comic Auctions, Nerdpool Reborn. So I have to be on my phone. I have to be on social media posting my stuff. So I can't risk myself getting spoiled. Now, to be honest with you, I search out leaks. I am dipping my toes in the leaker community. I have a few sources that have been pretty spot on. So I don't get spoiled myself because I'm already looking for it. But I want there to be, I really wish that we could all come together as a community and stop spoiling everything. Like, the episode drops at 3 a.m. and at 3:05, there's the spoiler for the episode on Instagram all over everyone's feeds. Like, it's ridiculous. It absolutely is ridiculous. So hopefully all my efforts will become fortuitous and I will get everyone to jump on board. But that's all I have for you this week. I do want to take a couple minutes here at the end just to, again, express how thankful I am for anyone who listens and for anyone who comes on the show or anything. It really means a lot to me. I do this for me as much as I try to do it for anyone who's listening. So I'm going to continue to do it regardless of how many listens I have. And I just hope that anyone who's listening likes the content, because I do work really hard. There is a lot of things that I have in the works. Hopefully, I can secure an interview with Ross Ritchie, who I've been going back and forth with about an interview for like 6 months, I think. For those of you who don't know, Boom, Ross Ritchie is the most important man at Boom Studios, who Something's Killing the Children, Berserker, Proctor Valley Road. I mean, so many Power Rangers, so many great titles. Eve. And I just want to say thank you if you're listening at this point. It's now 35 minutes in, and it means the world to me. If you got to this point, please do me a favor and just leave a comment and just say, I made it. And I'll know what you mean. So until next time, this is Nerdpool Prime signing off.